Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 452nd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Bet365. Bet365 is offering new users a $1,000 risk-free bet. Sign up today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/bet365. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. And next, we're brought to you by Game Time. Game Time is last-minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. Use promo code CFBX for 20% off your first purchase. And in honor of Veterans Day, everything in the merch store is 10% off with promo code VETS, that's V-E-T-S. All proceeds for the sale will be donated to Mission 22, a nonprofit serving those who've served.
Hi ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 452 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode is going out to a Twitter account, MILFs, Cougars, Mature Babes. thank you for supporting our podcast, and we'll do all that we can to support you. Hopefully we can get some good synergy going on here. So people in the Discord know what I'm talking about, as does my co-host, who just guffawed. I got a real laugh out of him, which is always the goal here. I'm one of your host, Jeff Chalks Fox, but I tell you, that nickname can't stick for much longer. Maybe I have to hit some dogs for it to go away, but I was in a bunch of dogs last week, and this week, spoiler alert, this week appears to be the same. A lot of interesting lines. We'll get my co-host in to do more than laugh, and we'll actually talk about the lines for UFC Vegas 82, aka UFC Fight Night, Allen versus Craig. I found a lot of advantageous lines, let's put it that way. Let's see what my co-host Daniel Gumby Reeland thinks. Hello.
I think that's advantageous too. Also, did that account just like one of our posts? Like, that was the interaction.
They liked it.
Because of the way you titled it.
Yeah, because of the way I titled it. Now I know how to title a podcast to get good people.
I think we're learning a lot about the metrics and how to crack the algorithm. We need more.
We figured out your metrics.
We need more titles that have the word MILF in it.
Yep. it's all about the title. It's true.
There you go. I think there's some good lines in here too. I think, at least the way you're teasing it, I think I probably have less dogs than you. I'm just going to say that. I think based on the way you're teasing it, I have less dogs. Yeah.
No, I don't know how many I actually have. I haven't counted, but there's a lot of really wide lines this week as opposed to last week.
There's a couple of real wide ones. There's a couple of real close ones though too. It's not like last week, but nothing is really like last week was an anomaly.
No, that is true. And of course, like I said, we're talking about UFC Fight Night, Allen versus Craig, going down from the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, in an octagon, 14 fights. Today, we're only covering, it's actually a big prelims. We got eight fights today, right? Yes, eight fights today. There's been some shuffling last minute stuff going down, which we will get you up to date on, some short notice replacements, that type of thing, as fighters have fallen out of fights and whatnot. So we're left with, we still have 14 fights. We haven't technically, I think maybe we lost one fight, right? One fight got was rumored for this card, and it's not happening, I think, if I remember
correctly. Which one's not happening?
Wasn't Flowers Azaytar?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that was canceled a while ago.
Yeah, okay. So 14 fights is still more than enough. Before we jump into it, thoughts? We'll say thoughts in the prelims, since today is just our prelim episode.
There's, like, questions, which I enjoy. You know, like, I think I've always said in these Apex ones, I just want questions to be answered, and I think there's enough fights that do that, either through, you know, guys who are debuting on the card, or, you know, like, this Jonathan Pierce, Joe Anderson, Brito, like, answers good questions about both of those guys. Same with Jose Johnson, Chad, and Helliger. Like, I think it's good enough to answer questions.
Yes.
And that's what those Apex cards are for.
Yep. Very, very good analysis there. All right, let's jump into this, shall we? UFC Fight Night, Allen versus Craig, Saturday, November the 18th, 2 p.m. Eastern time. There's another positive, especially for Gumby, right?
That it may be harder for me to watch them at 2 p.m. I'm going to an open house of an affiliate jiu-jitsu gym of mine. Where I train. So I may be watching, like, either delayed or on a big screen somewhere. Yeah, like it might be a little tricky for me, surprisingly. I don't love the earlier one this time.
For the man who claims to hate all things social, he always has plans. Every weekend,
I don't know about always, but, like, sometimes, yeah.
Often.
Yeah. Blame my wife and jiu-jitsu. Those are the two things you can blame for my busyness.
Yep. Yeah, I was like, whoa, you have an affiliate? What's going on here? Are you some kind of a Veda salesman or not a Veda? Are you one of those pyramid scheme salesmen? But no, it's jiu-jitsu, the gentle art. So are you still practicing as often as you were?
Not as often. No, I have children.
No. Yeah, that's true. Pandemic and children kind of ended that, right?
Put a damper on how much you do stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Forever a purple belt. So close, though. You're so close to a brown belt, aren't you?
I think so. I'm not really in charge of how close I get to be.
No, that's true. It's not like a video game. You don't get to see what level you're at or stuff like that. So, all right. Killed enough time. Let's jump right into this here fight card. We're starting with a middleweight fight. Now, depending on where you look, there's going to be different fight order. I'm going off Tapology, because that Tapology is usually pretty reliable and up to date. It doesn't really matter to us, though. We're going to break down every fight for you as is, but, for those following along at home, we're doing the Tapology order. We're starting with Christian Leroy Duncan versus Dennis Tui Lui Lin at middleweight. Tui Lui Lin is coming in here as of what, Tuesday, I think. Yeah, yesterday, right? Or Monday.
Yeah, he might have known a little bit earlier, because I know the other replacement, Oral Bai, is known a little bit longer than the public. But at the most, like, a week's time.
Yep. All right. Let's break her down with starting with Tui Lui Lin. Yes, he's still in the UFC, at least for now. A couple more days. 11-8 with 9 knockouts. He's been submitted 4 times. As I said, it's a short notice, very, very short notice spot for him. I guess he must train in Vegas, right?
I would guess so. I was really surprised to see his name pop up as a replacement guy.
Yeah. No, I thought I saw his fight camp, and I think it was one that I maybe. Anyhow, they don't have it on Tapology. I thought I saw his fight camp was somewhere. Like, okay, that makes sense. But anyhow, yeah, I assume he is in Vegas. He doesn't have to travel across the world and get into the United States. So Tui Lui Lin, told you stats. Okay, 1-3 in the UFC so far. He's lost 2 straight fights, and he's 1-3 over his last 4, conveniently. Used to fight at lightweight. Used to fight at welterweight. So he's been down a couple weight classes. 2013 pro MMA debut. More active landing strikes than Duncan and better grappling stats than Duncan. Duncan's only fought a couple times in the UFC, though, so a small sample size. Tui Lui Lin has been outstruck in the UFC by 0.79 strikes per minute by his opponents. He's at plus 300. Christian Leroy Duncan, one of the best nicknames in the biz. Do you remember what it is?
Is it just his initial CLD?
CLD.
Yeah.
Now, if John went by CLV, that would be a good nickname. Because not his initials and it means something. Yeah, CLD, yeah, yes, yeah. Exactly. All right, CLD Duncan. I guess you don't need the Duncan. I'll just say CLD. He's 8-1, 6 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in any fight. 1-1 in the UFC. He did lose his last fight after winning his UFC debut. Was the Cage Warriors champion before all of this. So he's fought at a high level before the UFC. Inch of height, 2 inches of reach on Tui Lui Lin. Key here possibly is, other than short notice, is he's 7 years younger. I always hammer on the age stat, but it is a pretty big factor. Fighters 5 years younger or more than their opponent wins 63% of the time. This year is at 64. So a little bit higher this year. Just something to keep in mind. Now I got to go back to my tab now, don't I? Here we go. Duncan's also got better striking stats than Tui Lulin. However, he's been outstruck over his two UFC fights by almost a strike and a half a minute. He's at minus 1.48. And on the betting boards, minus 400. All these odds, all the odds for the fights other than the two short notice ones are from our friends at Bet365. Okay, go ahead.
So I like Christian Leroy Duncan in this fight. I think, you mentioned the stats not looking particularly good. A lot of that is the loss to Armin Petrosian, who is, a noted kickboxer, right? Like, he looks really good on the feet, and it's been really crisp. I will tell you, I wouldn't like Christian Leroy Duncan if he was fighting anybody with either a chin or the ability to take somebody down. And lucky for him, they found him Dennis Tui Lulin, who has neither of those things, the ability to take anybody down or a chin. He's just, like, hateable. Has shorter arms, is taking this on no notice, will probably have, all the water sucked out of his brain, and we'll just, he'll just light him up. So, like, this is a great replacement for him. Also, the intern told me that Tui Lulin trains at American Top Team in Coconut Creek, Florida. So not close
across the country, but
yeah, not close to Vegas, but still doesn't have to worry about visas and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm going Duncan here. He should roll easily. I'm not sure I'm even hashtag throwing him in a parlay at negative 400, but I might look for him in a daily fantasy lineup or something.
Perhaps a prop. You're talking about brains being sucked out.
He should get knocked out. I mean, he's got a terrible chin, as we've seen time and time again. So he should knock him out.
Yeah. Obviously I'm taking Duncan as well. Short notice is a big stat. Obviously I always harp on I think it's actually gotten even better in our favor for short notice. Short notice actually 36%. That's what we're at. 36% of the time short notice people win the fights. It's not just that though. Duncan is a better fighter, which helps. Tui Lulin, not that impressive in the UFC. Short notice, and he's fighting a guy way younger than him, and he's gonna have a slight size advantage. So I think all the boxes are ticked in CLD's favor. So obviously he is the pick. Before we move on, all the boxes are ticked in our Vets merch sale as well. In honor of Veterans Day, everything in the merch store is 10% off with the promo code VETS, VETS. All proceeds from this sale will be donated to Mission 22, a nonprofit serving those who have served. So support a great cause and score some sweet gear. store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Promo code VETS. Get a hat like mine. All right, Bet365. We are brought to you by Bet365, and they are providing the odds we are breaking down on the podcast today and tomorrow. Bet365 is the world's favorite sportsbook, trusted by over 88 million players worldwide. That's more people that even listen to us. That's almost more people than that watch one championship. Not quite, but close. Props, sides, totals, live betting, Bet365 has you covered. And if you like boosts, you're going to love Bet365, like a 30% profit boost on your NFL same game parlay. Plus, they even have an early payout offer if your team goes up 17 points. Sign up today and choose from two bonus offers, either $1,000 no sweat bet or bet $5, get 150 in bonus bets. That would be dollars. Just head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/bet365. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/bet365. Or use the sign up link in our show's bio. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, and MMA. I should mention, this is an MMA podcast after all. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players, fantasy stats, and cash in. Gubby, do you have an underdog play for any sport? Because you are a master of all sports.
Yeah, if this is coming out on Wednesday, so on Thursday, I'll take the... Well, let's do something fun with the Thunder. I won't just use Chet Holmgren all the time. So let's go with Josh Giddey. Give me Josh Giddey's points, rebounds, and assists the higher than.
Are you becoming an OKC Thunder man?
I mean, they are very fun, are they not? Yes. Like, they are very fun to watch.
Are the Bulls not your team? Which is not a good thing right now.
They are my team still. Yeah, I will forever be a Bulls fan, but it's not. Yeah, like, Alex Caruso is like the upside. Like, what are we going to get for him in a trade?
Exactly. Alex Caruso is good. He's the one player they actually should keep, other than him getting hurt all the time. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. And now back to the fights. All right, we're going down, down, down to featherweight Lucas Alexander from Brazil versus Jaka Seraji from Indonesia. Do we have any other Indonesians in the UFC?
I think he might be the only one.
Yeah. We shall see how long he remains the only one. Not because they're going to add more Indonesians. Anyhow, do you know his nickname, Dan? I want you to say it.
Nah, I don't.
C. Tendinjan Maut is his nickname. Three words. Okay. You going to tell us what it means, or you good with that? Or
I'm good with it. I'm not going to change it.
Okay, good. I don't know what it means. It's probably like something to do with his gym or something. That's how they roll over there usually, right?
Yeah. That's usually Thailand, but sure. Yeah.
All right. Sergi, 13-3. Yeah, I know. It's more Thailand. Gumby could not care less. He's supposed to be the nickname guy, but no, he does not care. All right. I'm going to tell you what Seraji, we're going to call him Seraji anyway, because it's easier to say than that nickname. He is 13-3, 8 knockouts, 4 submissions. So he does finish a lot of people, especially for a light weight class. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. So he's never gone to the decision and lost a fight either. 0-1 in the UFC, 5-1 over his last 6. He did lose his last fight. He went 2-0 on the road to the UFC tournament and then lost in the finals. He's fight at lightweight. He was actually at lightweight for the tournament, was he not, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. He's outstruck his opponents. That would be all three of the opponents he's had, because I think the road to the UFC, we have stats for that as well. He's at plus 0.21 strikes per minute. He's got better grappling stats than Alexander, plus 380. The Lion is Alexander's nickname. Far not as cool as Sergi's nickname. Not at all. 8-3 with 3 knockouts. He's been submitted 3 times, so he's been finished in all of his losses. 1-1 in the UFC. He's taking this fight on short notice. Not quite as short as everyone is this week, but short notice nonetheless. 6-1 over his last 7. Did win his last fight. 3 inches taller, 4 inches reach on Sergi. Better striking, more active landing strikes. He's got a positive strike differential of 3.29 strikes per minute, minus 500. It shows the gap in skill here that a short notice guy is minus 500 in this fight. So I'm still taking Alexander. He's just the better fighter here. Sergi, I don't think, is UFC caliber, at least not at this point.
I think he's dangerous, though. So I'm going to, I'm not sitting here telling you I'm going to take Jaka Seraji, but like, I do think he's dangerous. Like, if you watched all of his fights, lots of, remember we talked about floof the other day? We talked about
fighters
who've got a lot of floof.
Yep.
Seraji's got a lot of floof. There's a lot of stuff he does that's maybe a little bit questionable. Like, he should not be going spinning back kick, spinning back kick, spinning back kick, back to back to back. But that's what he does. And sometimes it's like not the smartest move. He doesn't do things he ought to do. But with that being said, he's fighting the worst possible opponent for that. Lucas Alexander is a guy who puts together combinations, does a nice 1-2, picks people. I mean, like, go back and watch his fight. What was it, Stephen Ocho Peterson he fought last? When he fought Stephen Ocho Peterson, he just walked him down through great combination, stayed out of range. Like, it was a technical clinic. So against a guy who's going to like waste a lot of energy and throw a lot of flashy stuff, I trust that he's not the type of guy to get clipped. If you feel any inkling that you may need to take Jaka Seraji in this fight at plus 400, you might as well just double down on it and pick him by knockout. Cause you're going to get like, I don't see the odds posted for that yet. You're going to get to like 6-1, 8-1 on him by knockout. You might as well play that, cause he's not winning any other way. But officially I'm taking Lucas Alexander. I think he's probably a good piece for a parlay somewhere too.
Seraji is definitely a button masher in video games, right? When he's playing fighting games. He's bashing all the buttons.
He's just like a Tekken character, pretty much. Yeah. Like, he's just going to spin a whole bunch all of a sudden.
Yeah. But find a move that works and then you spam it. That's the way it goes. All right. We are moving down in weight, up in the fight card. It's a flyweight fight. Charles Johnson versus Rafael Estevam. Speaking of amazing nicknames, here we go. It wouldn't be Estevam's. It would be Johnson's. Energy. INNERG. Gumby does know what this one means because the man himself explained it to you. Did you not?
It's about his inner G.
Yep. He's on the Top Turtle MMA podcast. One of the amazing episodes from in the archives. Check it out. I'm sure it's in the archives still, right?
Yeah, all of them are in the archive. You could go back. I wouldn't recommend it, but you can go back and listen to the early one. You can go back and listen to the ones episode one with Charles Boston Strong Rosa.
There you go. Listen to the episodes I guest hosted on or guested on. Yeah, definitely listen to anyone with a Galaxy Brain TIE Fighter on it, because they're the best. Like Energy, for instance.
Energy. Yep.
Who's the guy I'm thinking of? The Bantamweight.
Peyton Talbot.
No, the bit.
Tyler Phillips.
Kyler Phillips. He's even got an awesome Galaxy name, too. Yes, Kyler Phillips. Yeah. Galaxy Brain Hair. He's amazing, that guy. All right, Energy we're talking about, though. He's 13-5, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. 2-3 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights. Before that, he won 2 straight fights. Was the LFA champion before he came into the UFC? I think he was a short notice guy that got into the UFC, right?
I think so. LFA champions are like the first, especially flyweight. Yeah. Like pretty much anybody who's ever won an LFA flyweight title, except for Cody Davis, who has the belt right now, is in the UFC.
Well, not too bad. Short notice replacement. He's on to his 6th UFC fight. So at least he's scratched out a bit of a career here for himself. Used to fight at Bantamweight. 1-3-1 as a pro boxer. An inch taller, an inch of reach on Estevam. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.48 strikes per minute. He's at +125. Estevam Macapa is the nickname. Gumby?
Is that a bird?
I think it is. Are you not my go-to guy anymore for nicknames?
I thought I have it. Like if I don't have it, call me on it. But I think it's a bird.
It's a city in Brazil, actually. I don't know if that's why his nickname is that, but
I guess I was wrong. Maybe I don't have that one.
Oh, hear that, everybody?
I got the next one though. So
he admits it. He admits it, as the meme goes. All right, Macapa, you got the next one. Okay, good. Yeah, you just talked about it on your podcast coming up. I know. All right. Macapa is 11-0, no disputing over that. 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. This is his UFC debut. He's won 2 straight fights via finish. He's been out of action since September of 2022. He was on your podcast this week, right? Am I imagining things? He was on it, right?
Nope, you're imagining things.
I am imagining. It was the next guy who had the eye surgery. No, never mind. Scratch all that. Why has Estevam been out of action since September 2022? Do you know that answer? It wasn't eye surgery.
I think injuries and then visa issues, both back to back.
Okay. 1-0 on the contender series. He used to fight at Bantamweight, 5 years younger than Johnson. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes, but this is based off of his 1 contender series fight, in which he outstruck his opponent by 6.07 strikes per minute. That'll win you some fights. He's at minus, I got 2 different lines here. He's -150, sounds right. Right? Right.
Yeah, that sounds right. Right. My turn. I'm taking Estevam. Yes. You mentioned the younger thing. I think that's a big piece to it. And also just like the big thing to me is, you said the striking stats are better, but if you go back and you watch that contender series fight for Estevam, it's not that he's good at striking from range. It's just that he's never at range. He's just in on a takedown 30 seconds into the fight every single time. And his last fight, he fought Joel Elias Elias is a great grappler. He's like a dangerous submission specialist. And he was like, do you know what I should do? I should grapple this guy furiously from the start to the end of this fight. And he did so and wore him out and looked great doing it. Excellent scrambles, phenomenal top control, constant pressure and constant striking. And when you look at Johnson, you mentioned a 2-fight losing streak for Johnson. He got taken out 11 times in his last fight. And I'm not saying Estevam is Cody Durden, because Cody Durden keeps proving to be tougher and tougher every single time we see him fight. But Estevam is going to go to the wrestling as much as Cody Durden did. So I trust him. And I think his submission game's better than Durden. So give me Estevam here.
In Gumby, I trust as well. Estevam obviously is the pick here. Johnson, maybe had some problems. He probably got to the UFC a little late. Maybe not. Maybe
no, I agree with you. I think a little late. Okay.
How old is he? He seems a little old. That's all.
Yeah. And he did good things on the regional scene too. Like it's worth noting that he was like beating up good guys down there and fighting high level competition. But sometimes while that's really great and it gave him the experience, sometimes age is a bigger factor than anything else.
Yeah. Especially at flyweight. So anyhow, Estevam is our pick, as is Game Time. With all our winnings, we can go to all your winnings, because everyone here is going to be tagging along with us as well. Game Time is the spot to go for your tickets, last minute tickets, anytime tickets. It's the place to go because Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals and tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more, aka MMA. Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section or end row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. And Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data, and turn your parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks add value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We did the research. We're going to win. With our next fight, up a weight class, bantamweight, Chad and Helliger, a Canadian, versus Jose Johnson. This was the man who was on Gumby's podcast this past week, spoke about his eye surgery, vision correction surgery, spoke about his nickname. But, oh, and Helliger, he was on your podcast as well. Gumby, two-time these guys. I'll tell you about Helliger first. He is the monster. 12-6, seven knockouts, three submissions. He's been submitted five times, so that appears to be his weakness. 1-1 in the UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series, 10-1 over his last 11. That's impressive. His loss did come in his last fight. That was back in September of 2022. Was he injured as well?
And Helliger, he had a couple of like nagging smaller injuries.
Okay. Regional champion, 2010 pro MMA debut, more active landing strikes than Johnson. He's outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 0.2 strikes per minute. He's at plus 170. Lobo Solitario, lone wolf. Correct.
Yeah, correct.
If you want to know the basis to that, it's kind of a sad story, actually. Listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Johnson, 15-8, seven knockouts, three submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted four times. 0-1 in the UFC, 3-1 over his last four, including winning his last fight via... Oh, sorry, he lost his last fight via submission, but the man was blind. 1-0 in the Contender Series, used to fight at featherweight, was a regional champion, 6 inches height, 7 inches reach, 9 years younger than Helliger. He outstruck his Contender Series and UFC opponents by 0.44 strikes a minute. He's also 1-0 in Muay Thai professionally, minus 200. Johnson is my pick. Obviously, size and youth. I'm a sucker for that. But especially at this low weight class, he's just going to be way too big for Helliger. And I think he's a better fighter to boot. So Johnson is my pick, especially now that he can see more than the shadows.
It's so much like I'm not a size and youth guy the same way you are, right? Like I'm not one who just like, oh yeah, he's big and he's young, like give me that guy all the time. But like he's what'd you say, 6 inches taller
in, yep. Like yeah, 7 inches reach.
And it's one thing if it's you're going into that fight and you're like, you know, and Helliger could wrestle him, but actually I think Johnson has the wrestling advantage. Like if you watch Johnson on his fight on Contender Series, who did he fight? Jack Cartwright. And I know it didn't shine through in the Damon Blackshear fight, but like we know Damon Blackshear is freaking animal now. But like in that Jack Cartwright fight, he out wrestled Jack Cartwright and looked phenomenal doing it. So like he might have a slight wrestling advantage in 6 inches of height, and now he can see who he's boxing. Like, yeah, yeah. Of course. Yeah. I want Jose Johnson. Yeah. Give me him on this fight.
And he thinks he's a better wrestler. At least I know fighters are going to say these things regardless, but on your podcast, he seemed pretty,
he's got pretty faith in his wrestling, assured of his, that's worth something.
Yep. All right. We've agreed in every fight so far. Let's see if we continue here. This one's a bit of a tough one, so maybe we won't. This is a featherweight fight. Jonathan Pierce versus Joanderson Brito. Very fun fight. Could be fight of the night type fight. Let's tell you about Brito first. Tubara. Am I saying it wrong? It's a shark.
Tubau.
Oh, that's right. It's Brazilian. Tubau. They have a weird relationship with R's in Brazil. He is... Is it B2 then?
Brito. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, those Brazilians and their R's. He is 15-3-1, 6 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 3-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights, all via finish. 1-0 in contender series. Used to fight at lightweight. 2013 pro MMA debut. An inch of reach, 3 years younger than Pierce. He's outstruck his UFC and contender series opponents by 1.1 strikes per minute. And he's at 110 on the board. Coincidences there. Plus 110 is the number for Brito. Pierce, JSP, the sacrilegious nickname. 14-4, 9 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 5-1 in the UFC. He's won 5 straight fights. He's not lost since October 2019. Used to fight at lightweight, used to fight at bantamweight. Now he's right in the middle. 1-0 in contender series, 2-0 in Bellator, 4 inches taller than Brito. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes, and better grappling stats. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.45 strikes per minute. Very impressive there. Minus 138. I'm interested in your pick here, Gumby. Go ahead.
I'm going JSP.
I'm going Brito. There we go. We disagreed.
I kind of thought you might, but it's also weird to me that you're not taking the big, long, younger. Did you say younger guy? Your big, long, younger?
No.
Better stats. Younger. Better, way better stats. I like Brito in some of the fights I've seen him in. It's like infrequent that he fights correctly. In fact, he's given fights away before, right? It was Senior Perfecto, right? He lost to and just fought like an absolute clown the whole fight and didn't wrestle when he very could well have wrestled. And then he turned around and did what he was supposed to against Lucas Alexander. Then he got comfortable punching again and beat, was it Andre Feely? I wish I had these records in front of me. I'm remembering his career correctly. But it always seems like he's fighting the wrong way, whereas JSP fights very smart and very technically. And when you have that big of a size advantage, and it's worth noting JSP good on the ground too and good at stuffing takedowns, I think like Brito's only path to victory is a big, mean overhand right here. And I don't think he's going to land it. So give me JSP here. I think he pokes him apart for longer and he probably tires him out. I don't know that Torbao can go that long.
We shall see. Sharks can go forever is what I'm saying at least. So yeah, I'm going Brito, better striker, more power on the feet. But yeah, like you said, not always the smartest fighter and
Pierce, we love low life fight IQ. We love low fight IQ.
Yeah, apparently. Yes, apparently. Big fans. JSP is the better grappler, or at least he's more willing to grapple than Brito is. So yeah, tough fight, but I'm sticking with my pick. There's one of my dogs, and Gumby does not have that dog. So there you go. All right, we're going all the way up to the big boys now. Heavyweights, Mick Parkin versus Caio Machado, a Brazilian-Canadian who was on Gumby's podcast this week. Gumby had everybody on his podcast this week. Going to tell you about Machado first. Bigfoot. It's a nickname, 8-1-1, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in any fight. This is his UFC debut, 1-0 contender series, 7 straight fights. He's not lost. 7 straight wins, excuse me. He's not lost since November 2018. Was a regional champion in Canada. Better striking stats and more active landing strikes than Parkin. This is all based off of one fight, though. He outstruck his opponent on the contender series by almost 7 strikes a minute. He's at plus 6.94 strikes per minute. He's at plus 275. Parkin, 7-0, 5 knockouts, 1 submission, 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 contender series, regional champion. An inch of reach on Machado. Based on the last weigh-ins, he weighed 8 pounds heavier than Machado did for his last fight. He's a year younger. He's outstruck his 2 opponents by 2.95 strikes a minute. Better grappling stats. 1-0 as a kickboxer professionally, minus 350.
Big dog here. Let's go big dog here, Camachado. I know people, you know, I answered a question in the Discord. I think it was our guy Crunch saying, is there any reason I shouldn't just back the truck up to Mick Parkin? And I said, I don't know who I'm picking yet. This was, you know, a week or two ago. But don't back the truck up, because what has Mick Parkin shown us? Right? He beat Bebe Zhao in his fight on Contender Series. Bebe Zhao beating the crap out of him on the feet, just decides to wrestle, gets countered, rear naked choke. Then he fights maybe the most boring fight in the world against Jamal Pogues, where Pogues looked like he had no energy left, like a minute and a half into the second round. And then we got Parkin as a massive favorite over Machado, who I think people are counting out because he himself had a really boring fight, right? His fight with Kevin Zaflarski, which we all thought was never going to earn him a contract. And it was mostly just like Zaflarski broke his hand early in that fight and was then just like, I'm just going to walk around this cage and you can chase me if you want. But if you look at Machado on the regional scene, like, he's got good wrestling. He's got good top control. It's not going to be one of those things where he tries to wrestle Mick Parkin and fails so miserably and winds up on bottom. I actually think he's one of the few heavyweights we see use combinations really well. Like, he uses a jab and like a 1-2 really well, which you don't see like heavyweights who move nicely and use jabs. Parkin's probably got a power advantage, but like, I think Machado's a more complete fighter, and if getting him at almost 3-1 is definitely worth it.
He's my pick as well, not just because he's
look at he's you.
No, well, Mick Parkin's not good.
He's not.
We're not a fan of his.
And I don't mean to be mean about it either, but like, if I'm gonna pay -300 on a heavyweight fight, I better at least believe that that heavyweight doesn't suck. And yeah, I'm not saying he sucks. But I'm also saying I don't know that he doesn't, you know. Yep. So like, I'm not paying -300 for any guy at heavyweight who looks like that.
Speaking of sucking and not very good, let's move to the next fight, shall we? Women's bantamweight, Lucy Putilova versus Eileen Perez, the greatest. She was the greatest featherweight of in women's fighting. I guess she's the greatest bantamweight now.
I hope she's okay going down to bantamweight after being the greatest featherweight of all time.
It's true. It's true. All right. Bullet Putilova, 14-8, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been submitted one time, 3-6 in the UFC over 2 stints. However, she's 3-1 over her last 4. She did lose her last fight, though. There's another however there. Was a regional champion, used to fight down at flyweight, 3 inches height, 1 inch reach on Perez. She's barely outstruck her UFC opponents, but she's in the positive in the strike differential, plus 0.02 strikes per minute, plus 170. Eileen Perez, her nickname's listed as Nurmagomedov. Is that true? Have you heard anything about that?
I bet you she changed it to that. Oh, I bet she changed it to that. All of
hard
her, like,
money.
All of her Instagram posts right now call herself like She Habib or something, like Shabib.
Oh,
or Eileen Nurmagomedov. Like, all of them are like hashtag that, because she took down Ashley Evans Smith 7 times.
Yep. All right. Eileen Nurmagomedov, her number one fan is Eileen Nurmagomedov. She's 8-2, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been submitted one time. 1-1 in the UFC, 3-1 of her last 4, just like Putilova. However, she did win her last fight. Guess where she was the champion 2 times, Gumby?
Samurai Fight House.
Samurai Fight House. used to fight at flyweight and featherweight. Maybe she was the greatest flyweight, too. We might have missed that. Better striking stats, better grappling stats than Putilova, based off a small sample size. She's outstruck her 2 UFC opponents by almost 2 strikes a minute, plus 1.97, minus 200. This one's basically just like the last fight we just broke down. I was going to pick Perez, but Perez is not good. Putilova looks like she's not good just with the record and stuff, but, you know, she's been doing okay recently.
She won that last fight, though. Let's not play revisionist history all the time. She beat Jocelyn Edwards and handedly. Like, I bet you if you go to MMA Decisions, which I don't have the tab open now, because now that we use a different recording software, I can't have multiple tabs open without my voice getting all crackly. But, like, if you go to MMA Decisions, I would be surprised if any MMA media member outside of somebody for Sherdog or MMA Mania has that fight for Jocelyn Edwards. Like, there's no way anybody who's like saying it at judging fights thought that fight went to anybody but Lucy Putilova. Like, she won that fight. And so even given that, like, if I was rolling out Jocelyn Edwards for this fight, right? If Jocelyn Edwards versus Aileen Perez, I'm picking Jocelyn Edwards, and I think she just lost to Lucy Putilova. Putilova's great in the clinch. She's got good elbows. She absolutely rips people on the feet. All she's got to do is stuff a couple of bad takedowns from Aileen Perez, and she's going to win this fight super easy. So, yeah, I love the dog money here on Lucy Putilova.
First of all, shots fired, MMA Mania and Sure Dog. It's been a while since you crapped on Sure Dog.
They're both terrible, by the way.
Yeah. I agree with you here. I am in on Pudilov as well. I was just blindly picking Perez and like, all right, fine. Now they're all that great. But I'm like, why am I paying minus 200 for a fighter who's really not good? And I know
bad. He's
not
good. So, yeah. Oh, by the way, the intern just got back to me.
Yes.
I would like to report that Sure Dog had four guys judging the fight, as MMA Media had one. And all of them still scored the fight for Pudilova, because there were 15 media members and not a single one gave it to Jocelyn Edwards. My point, that one was a little bit of a robbery. Pudilova should be coming off a win here.
There you go. Regardless, we're picking her for this fight. Now we're to the main event, or so we think, the main event of the prelims as it stands on Tapology. It is a men's lightweight fight, Brazil versus USA. Nicolas Mota, Brazil, Trey Ogden, USA. All right, Ogden, the Samurai Ghost is the nickname. Have you talked to him about that nickname? I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. And if you haven't heard it, I can't do it justice in 2 minutes. Should just go back and find him talking about that, because it's a pretty intense story.
Well, I am really good at retaining, apparently, because I don't remember it. So anyhow, all right. The Samurai Ghost is 16-6, 11 submissions. He's been submitted himself 3 times. Live by the sword, die by the sword, perhaps. Or live on the mat, die on the mat. He is 1-2 over his last 3. Loss, win, loss was the pattern. Was a regional champion, used to fight at welterweight, 1 no in Bellator. 2 inches height, 2 inches of reach on Mota. Better grappling stats than Mota. He's been outstruck over his 3 UFC fights by 1.47 strikes per minute, plus 110. So we got a close one here. Iron Mota, 13-5 with 9 knockouts. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. So he's been finishing all his losses. 1-2 in the UFC, 1 no contender series. Loss, win, loss for him as well over his last 3. He got knocked out in his last fight. 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. Regional champion, used to fight at featherweight. 2012 pro MMA debut, 4 years younger than Ogden. He's been outstruck by his opponents by 1.31 strikes per minute in the UFC and contender series. He's at minus 138. Finish us off, Gumby.
I think it's your turn. It's not.
Is it my turn? No, I picked.
Okay.
Pudilova,
It could be me. We got off track somewhere there, because if we're 8, you should have been the last one. So I must have done 2 in a row at some point. True. Whatever. I'm going Mota here. Couple of reasons. I like, so we only disagreed on JSP versus Brito. That's interesting.
Yep.
I like Trey Ogden. I like a lot of things about Trey Ogden. He's tough. He's a grinder. He's got good takedowns. The problem is I think Mota is just a little bit too tough to allow those takedowns. And granted, we haven't gotten a big sample size of wrestling from him in the UFC. I think he has never attempted a takedown, and I think he's 1 of 1 trying to defend them. From what I've seen from him on the regional scene, he looks like a competent grappler. He looks like he can stuff a couple of Trey Ogden's takedowns, and really has only been losing when he gets like violently knocked out, right? Trey Ogden, not like a big puncher. So like probably a good spot for Mota in that way. And then I'll also just say this. I don't want to write Trey Ogden off because of what's going on in his life in terms of training, but he now is a full-time coach. He's like regularly traveling to coach and corner people. He basically got all of the Glory MMA people who didn't like travel to other huge gyms. Like if you're, you know, like if you're thinking of Brandon Moreno, right, wound up at Fortis MMA. And like we saw some other guys move to Vegas and stuff like that. But the ones who stayed in the area, the ones who stayed in the, what was it, Kansas City area, now train at Marathon MMA, which is coached by Trey Ogden. He's the head coach there. He's the James Krause there. And we kind of always know with people who are, you know, started coaching and are now putting that much work into coaching, it does seem to leech off their own personal coach, you know, like own personal training. So I'm worried a little bit about that for Trey Ogden, and it's enough to sway me fully to go to Mota here.
Yeah, Mota is my pick as well. Should be able to stuff takedowns, and he's got the power to make Ogden pay once this turns into a striking battle. So Mota is the pick. Nice number on him too, right? We're happy with that number?
Yeah, I'm fine with that one. It's probably lined correctly.
Okay. All right, let's recap, and then we'll get out of your ear holes and eye holes. Both. We both have Mota. We both have Pudilova. We both have Machado. Gumby has Pierce as a Brito, because I like clowns, apparently. We both have Johnson. Both have Estevam. We both have Alexander. We both have Duncan. Boom. There's all 8 prelims. back tomorrow with the main card and our fancy place. Discord is the place to be. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Get in there and chat with us. Twitter, SGP and MMA. Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer are the handles. I'm Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram as well. Gumby's Top Turtle Podcast, we told you about already. We told you, we tell all three people that are on it or not.
I think we mentioned them all. Cal Machado, Jose Johnson, Chad and Helliger, all popping by.
Right. They all popped by. All good interviews as per usual. And my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Subscribe, enter my free pick'em contest every week. Get all my MMA writings in your inbox. And of course, go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com for all things in the sports gambling sphere and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. So we can help you help us crush corporate gambling. We'll be back tomorrow. I won't be a Lobo Solitario. So Solitario tomorrow. No, I'll have my Tubao with me, my shark, Gumby Vreeland. And we will give you all the winning picks for the main card then. But